And we're live. Welcome to Afterburn Soccer Show on this humbling Monday, St. Paddy's Day weekend, long weekend for some of y'all. And a tough weekend for FC Dallas fans and for the FC Dallas team as they lose another shocker at home 3-1 to the visiting Vancouver Whitecaps. A really disappointing result. A really tough game to watch as an FC Dallas fan, and for those fans that made it out that evening and had to see a fairly tepid performance, it's a low moment this early in the season, but it is early. We're going to get into it. I'm joined here with Jose at El Chico Carmona on X, and of course I'm Nathan. You can follow me at Nathan J Hill.
Hello everybody.
We're drowning the sorrows just a bit on this evening and talking about it. And we appreciate your comments and your questions. We're going to have some conversation with you, those of you out there who are watching, and of course those of you may be listening on the podcast, the audio version. You can always drop us a comment on afterburn.soccer on our Substack site. Well, let's get right into it. Let's just start with the nitty-gritty, the eye test. Jose, was that a tough game to watch?
Absolutely. I can honestly say that I have hardly watched the second half. I mean, I had it on, but I wasn't really paying that much attention to it. I already knew, being down 3-1, that Dallas was not going to be able to get two goals against Vancouver in the second half, because you're sitting on a 3-1 lead. Vancouver is good enough, and they've proven in the past that they're good enough to keep you out of the net, and you know, close out a match. Mm-hmm. So yes, you saw a disjointed mess. You saw a team that simply looks like it's still in preseason form and shape against a team that looks like they're in early season shape. You know, just two different levels. And frankly, you can say that about every opponent except the first week opponent. Everyone seems to be on ahead of schedule, where Dallas appears to be. And this is true for all three of Nico's seasons, that the team has come out in the first month and look like they're still in preseason. Every season under Nico has been that way, except the difference is this season, it looks more disjointed than in previous seasons, and the results haven't been fortunate like the two previous seasons. So this is how the team looked pretty much in previous seasons, but they eked out results because of their defense. But that hasn't happened this season, and it's got everybody seriously concerned.
Seriously concerned is right. Last week we were talking about how close we are to hitting the panic button. We had Steve Davis on, and he wrote about it too on his Substack site, Texas 11. Check it out. But he said it was hovering. You knew where the panic button was, but you weren't necessarily slamming down on that at this time. And we all thought maybe at the very least this team is going to come out and get a draw at home. It would have been disappointing, but it would have potentially been a step in the right direction. But we didn't see that. Other than the Sebastian Ledger goal, which was a nice goal, and you saw it in the opening credits, a nice header, a really clever header from him. Fafa Pico went right down and scored a third goal. Just not a defensive performance to hang your hat on. A lot of questions about the midfield and the attack, the toothless attack that just can't threaten opponents right now. My sense is Nico is cut from the same cloth of Lucci in a way. Maybe that's not fair, but both guys had their systems in mind. They have their ideas, their formation, this sort of tactical idea, but it always seemed a challenge for them to really implement that and get it going in a way that makes sense. Lucci, I've had some issues with slow starts as well, and it almost seems like the team, they're wanting to sort of get started playing and get some passes, get warmed up, and then begin to attack rather than look for those opportunities immediately to take advantage of the game. And so there's just something disconnected. And so they're giving up easy goals. They're giving up fast break goals when they shouldn't, when they should have more than enough defenders and midfielders on the field to lock things down. A lot of question marks for this team. It's another disappointing result over and off. And I don't have an easy answer for anyone, for FC Dallas fans, for anyone. Like, what is going to fix this? Sure, getting some guys healthy will certainly help, but there's something not clicking. There's something that is not being translated from what they're trying to do in practice or what the coaches are asking for them to do that gets translated into actual field play, making dangerous decisions, getting the ball forward. So many questions for this team right now. Well, speaking of that, let's go ahead and jump to a little post game comment here from Nkosi Tafari.
Getting a couple goals early and getting down early.
I think there's just a severe lack of intensity from the start, and then you're either going to punch first or get hit, and we keep getting punched first, and it's hard to come back when you're down two goals, one goal, three goals. We haven't scored first in any game this season yet, so it's kind of hard to win with that kind of an outcome.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
And yes, everything is looking pretty shit, actually.
Yeah, things are. This is a pretty low moment. It is early in the season. Not everybody is healthy, so there's room for that to improve. We can look at Sebastian's goal as a little spark, something for this team to think about and hold on to. They weren't completely shut out. But yeah, you had a second half where it was hard to watch. It was hard to watch this team try and flail at getting the ball into dangerous places and taking advantage and making life difficult for Vancouver. So it was a very, very frustrating performance all around. And fans are ready to feel low. Also feeling low, adding his commentary to it, is Major League Soccer legend Tom Bogert. I shouldn't say legend, but he's the trade rumor guy, you know. But he's been doing it on his YouTube channel. So he talked about FC Dallas, and he placed FC Dallas as a sell as far as this thing is not looking good. So we're just going to have sort of a little live reaction from Jose. And, you know, see if we're on board with Tom's assessment.
Very good. Two more left, and we're going to end on a couple downturns, a couple pessimism. Number four, MLS 5 aside, FC Dallas, sell. Things do not look good. It's very disjointed. They struggle to turn, you know, ball control into game control. Their only win of the season came in the last minute.
Is the audio glitching for you?
No, it's not. But okay. It just paused.
Against San Jose, and it wasn't really deserved. And San Jose have had a lot of problems to start the season as well. Dallas switched from their 3-4-2-1 to more of a 4-4-2-ish. Do we think that was for personnel, or is that a worry that the new system might not be solving the problems that they had last year? I think it's the former, but not getting results is going to make the manager become much more kind of pragmatic, because his job's going to be on the line if this continues, because these are not new problems. Dallas are under one expected goal per game. That's 26 in MLS, but they're fourth in possession. It is the same thing as last year, where they could control the ball, but it was ponderous possession. It went back and forth, side to side. It was slow. It wasn't urgent. They weren't creating anything. They weren't creating anything until towards the end of the games, when they would go 4-4-2 and just kind of be more direct. I know that they want to play with possession and break teams down to the ball. They're just not doing it, and they haven't done it over the last year and five games. Like, I thought they were going to jump last year, and they didn't. I thought they were going to be better this year. You add a $10 million center forward into the group, that's supposed to change things. Elar Mendy having a full season again. I know that he's kind of not been completely available. These are issues that are not new, and these are absolute red flags. Peter Musa has one expected goal in 270 minutes. That is the same as Kevin Cabral, who has played 22 minutes this season. That is slightly better than Charlotte FC center back Adilson Milanda. This is a $10 million center forward. I think that Peter Musa is going to come good. I think that he's going to be fine. What I'm very worried about is chance creation for Petar Musa. It's similar to the Hugo Kuipers discussion that was bigger last week before he scored his first goal. Like, these players need service. All forwards need service. He's not getting it. They're not creating enough for him. And that's going to be the problem. And until they prove otherwise, there is a way bigger sample size that this is who FC Dallas are than this optimistic view we hope that they could be.
All right, well, reaction.
Well, you know, I agree with some of the stuff he's saying, but not all of it. I mean, it's easy to pick FC Dallas faults right now with the injuries that are simply hitting this team. Injuries that we were frankly all concerned because we saw this last season, except those injuries hit right around the middle of the season, not right off the bat when the team's trying to, you know, get together and get on the same page and implement this new system. So I think we're low-lying fruit, you know, and Bogard simply saying, yeah, you know, there's no cure in sight, and because they're not playing this weekend, he's going to be right for, you know, correct for another week or so. So, yeah, I it's going to be easy to get the over pessimistic FC Dallas fan base on board with those comments too. So he's saying basically what a lot of people are thinking, but I disagree. I mean, we saw this last year with this team when it had all the injuries. Eventually Nico turned it around, and even though the team wasn't winning, they were also not losing, and they went on an incredible run at the end of the season. And even if people don't agree there's an incredible run, it was an incredible run for a team that had looked really bad for you know, up until the middle of the season. So I agree that it is disjointed. I've already said that this team has looked this way under Nico at the start of every season. The only difference is that their opponents this season have not looked as disjointed as Dallas has, where in the last seasons they were. So we have to start questioning his insistence of taking the team to Spain for training camp. And maybe he should just stay home and focus on getting everybody on the same page here. Because it's not working. They're not coming back from Spain playing better, looking better. They're coming back like a team that still needs another month or two of preseason. So that's my take on that. It's he's mostly right, but Nico does have a history of turning things around, and I think this team will. The question is, how long are we going to suffer?
They're not alone in Major League Soccer too. New England Revolution, really disappointing start to the season for them. Austin is not in a great place. A lot of teams that are, yeah, just still figuring things out. So it's not unusual for a team to be going through a slower start. Some really good teams are struggling. Not everyone's like an Inter Miami right now. But yeah, I what I agree with about Tom is just that the service has been really poor. You have two legitimate strikers now. Those guys, you need to be able to find a way to get them where they are clicking and they are making teams very, very afraid. I haven't seen that yet. Maybe you point to Paul Areola's slow start. Bernard Camungo has looked definitely like he's experiencing his sophomore adjustment, his sophomore slump, because teams are going to have more tape on him now and try to watch him. But I think he's also not necessarily been asked to do things that are in his wheelhouse. Dante Seeley, we see the potential there. He's still young, but he got played as a winger in this game. Didn't look particularly great at moments. Our midfield, we're pinning a lot on just one player, Ilara Mendy, and I don't know that that's a sustainable setup. But other teams are also, I think, struggling with this, and so a team has got to find a way to win. And so I think what Tom said is right, that there's been this concern that they want to control possession, but sometimes it's not working, and you need to have that backup plan. You need to hoof the ball up the field. You need to try to win the ball in good spots and attack quickly and create havoc and create opportunities. So there's work to be done for this team to figure out that balance. And for Nico maybe to say, hey, I have this vision, but – and I think Lucci had to figure this out too. Sometimes my vision isn't what's going to help us get through the next few games or get something going or build our confidence that we need to build to be a more effective team overall.
Agreed. And let me point out that while the defense has looked horrible, there's an easy fix for that. And the easy fix to that for that is go back to the 4-3-3. Farfan is healthy now. He should be available to start. You got him, Tafare, Ibiaga, and Tomasi. And you go back to a back four, and your defensive issues would be mostly solved right there. But you'd be back to trying to figure out how to get your offense started. So I don't think so. I don't think he'll, you know, we saw, even though we did see them switch to a four in the back, in the, you know, for the second half, I think that's just temporary. And I honestly think that Nico will continue with this three-man back line going into, you know, going forward. And, you know, he's gambling he's gambling on it. He's, you know, he's taking a risk. So I think you have to at least give him credit for that. I think we got to give him credit for it. He is taking a risk. He doesn't have to. He can just revert to a 4-3-3, go back to being a solidly defensive team that struggles on the attack. So I think we need to give him patience. We have patience with him. My confidence, like I said, it's shaken, of course, but I still believe Nico can turn it around. It's just a matter of waiting. Time should fix some of the issues.
Well, we'll see. We will see. If I am in that front office right now, I am taking a hard look at the options to bring in a couple more players. Although the window certainly is not closed yet in this sort of winter opening window, so they don't have to wait till the summer. I don't know what the budget situation is like. They'd have to move some guys around, but I know they had a whole slew of guys getting green cards, so there should be an opportunity for an international player or two to bring in to see what could happen. But how do you bring someone that's going to make an immediate impact and is going to, you know?
I disagree, and I'll tell you why. Because he's already having trouble getting all these players that he currently has on the same page due to injuries and late arrivals and whatnot. Adding another player is simply going to add to that chaos. So I think I don't expect to see anyone at it until the summer rolls around. I think they're going to let him roll with what he's got, let him piece this team together. Once it's gets healthier and he gets his teams where he wants it, and then reassess and then go get another player. So I think the team that you're seeing now is the team we're going to get. If there's an addition, it's going to be somebody that's already here. Someone, say, a Carl Saint or someone like that. Somebody in North Texas. I don't think it's going to be someone from the outside. I think this team already has enough issues getting everybody on the same page as is. There's no need to bring in another guy that needs to learn what's happening here. Even if it is in another position of need.
I hear you, but I think another center back, again, can you get that person? Is there a legit someone who can be a leader and come step in and bring some skill at that back line? Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe it's wishful thinking. I'm thinking Football Manager.
It would have to be an international, because nobody within MLS is going to – everyone's going to be asking for too much. Everyone sees FC Dallas problems, and nobody's going to want to help them. Nobody's going to – If I am Team X and I have a center back that I'm willing to part with, and FC Dallas comes asking, I'm gonna ask for a lot more than I normally would, because I know Dallas would be desperate for that player, and so I don't think it happens. I think Sonata and Hans Nim, when it comes to stuff like that, they're not going to overpay. And so unless they have somebody coming in on an international coming in, that's not going to come from within MLS. So I don't, like I said, I am not at all expecting another addition unless it's somebody that's already here.
Well, we'll see. You know, they have 2 weeks before the next game, so it's a time for the team to regroup, to think through some things. A few players will be away of international duty. It's time to have those hard conversations, and you could tell it from the players that they were just not satisfied at all with their performance in this one.
I also want to add to my last comment is I would also say it could also be someone that's available on a free. You know, someone that with MLS experience that's not available on a free, I could see maybe someone like that being brought in. But even then, if I'm that guy's agent and Dallas wants me, I'd be trying to get as much as possible because I know they really need me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen some chatter about this. Is FC Dallas spending the right money in the right places? And really, with a guy like Paxton Pomacall, who just... He got shut down last season to have a procedure. That procedure has not gone the way they've wanted it. It's tough. It's tough. That happens to players. That happens to best players in the best leagues, where injuries are just set back the great talents. Paxton's a guy we love, but yeah, it begins to raise the question of like, is he worth the expenditure with these setbacks? And that's from that team standpoint, that business standpoint of putting a roster together.
Let me agree with the comment that there's, you know, too many players getting big money and you know, starter money. And it is true, but that mostly has to do with the team bringing in players that they were confident would perform for several years and who honestly have performed at least in their first season. Legette performed great in his first season. So did Paul. Paxton has performed well. But now that we've seen a drop-off, for whatever reason, be it injury, personal, it has kind of backfired on the team at this point. Now, we saw Legette score, which gives us hope, and of course, the word is that him and Becky are going strong again. So that's a great sign for us. It's kind of sad to think that we have to depend on this man's life working out in the background for his performance to be to live up to its, you know, to what he's getting paid. But that's the truth of it. You know, people dealing with emotions and stuff outside of the club. Some players can keep it off the field. Others can't. Obviously, Jed is one of the guys that can't. And so go Becca G. I hope you guys get that squared away, because the Legette was one of the few bright spots this last week. And frankly, it's a good sign and that he can build on. And we need him to continue to start regaining his form that he lost, clearly, after last year's fiasco. And Paul is actually, regardless of what we think of him, he's been nothing but the ultimate professional for this team, playing where he's asked to play. And he's a guy who I think, whatever you have against him, he's a guy who's always going to give you 100% and then some. And so I don't think they're a waste of money or that they're necessarily getting overpaid, provided that they start regaining their form. But at this time, because of, you know, if you include the last half of last season, it is a true comment. I'm just trying to say that it's not a foregone conclusion, though, that it will remain that way.
Yeah. Oh, it's a tough time to be an FC Dallas fan. It's one of these shows where there's only so much you can beat a dead horse. There's only so much you can, but we can't say this, that also North Texas kicked off their season, home draw. So a beginning
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was gonna say that North Texas, in a show of solidarity with the senior team, also got decimated by injuries leading up to their first game of the season, and I believe Scott was starting at right wing back, which is just ridiculous to hear that happened, but it's because they had three injuries at wing back in the run up to that game, and I was like, wow, that they're... The question is, with all these injuries, should we be concerned about the training staff? Is that something that needs to be revamped? Because, come on, these injuries last year, this year to start off the season, and now also hitting the reserve team, that can't be a coincidence. Hmm. Or can it?
Well, it's a good question to ask, and it should invite any good coaching staff to sort of reevaluate, take a hard look and say, are there things that we could do better? Are there things that we can improve? But I know every player is different. And something like Paxton's situation, if a surgery doesn't go well, it's hard. It really is hard to know what to do. And so sounds like they're trying to get that second opinion, but it's not looking great for him right now, but hopefully in a few weeks he can figure something out. And yeah, North Texas, it's going to be fun. I have not finished my article, my interview with John Gall. Just have been swamped with life beyond this. And so we'll look for that on the website this week, as well as an audio version of that. That'll be a lot of fun to watch and get to know John a bit more and what he's going to bring to this team.
I want to add that while the North Texas draw was a disappointing draw, because they only walked out with 1 point instead of two. I want to say that they've kind of are in for at least I believe they're in for a better season than last year, mainly due to the fact that some MLS Next Pro has passed some new rules that will limit how many senior team players can play for the reserve. So for example, last year you had Minnesota United, who's basically most of their starters are players who are from the senior team who basically come down and play. And there's a lot of teams that did that have been doing it for the last 2 years. But last year, that seemed to hurt a team like North Texas that only has a couple of guys from the senior team available to them. And I want to say that because of the new rules that have been passed that limits that, it means that North Texas will actually be playing some equally built teams this year as opposed to last season. And that should help them not struggle as much as last year. And Gall, I think, has a better understanding of the roster to start out the season than his predecessor. And I think while I don't expect this team to be a title contender, I think they'll be in the middle, in the thick of things, and be a team knocking on the playoff door, depending on results, of course. And yes, I mean, Hotch is saying pretty much everybody's saying right now, in all honesty. We're all upset that Paxton looks like we're all concerned that he may be done. And you're talking about a midfielder that was probably one of our top two, top three midfielders. And to have him basically be on the verge of basically forcibly being retired, that's something hard to take. And yeah, Ilara is old, but we all knew that. That's nothing new. It's the fact that other injuries means, in the past, we would assume that if Ilara isn't playing, Paxton would play in his part, in his stead or something along those lines. That's not happening. So the Ilara thing is nothing new. And Alan and Giovanni, we also knew about that. That's nothing new. It's the other injuries that are popping up, the other things like Farrington not being available all of a sudden. Stuff like that. That's Farfan.
Yeah.
Yep. Those are the things that's really hurting this team. And like I said, it's going to be a real test of this team's depth. They're trying to improve their depth, but right now we're not seeing it because everybody's hurt.
Well, and if there's something too that I'm sort of glad to see, although it's still early days yet, but is you want to see with MLS Next Pro returning to North Texas, is you want to see that becoming a viable coaching pathway to bring in fresh ideas and ideas that are a little more time tested. This is the reality to return back to Lucci and to Nico, past two head coaches for FC Dallas. They've both been their first time at this level. The plan originally for Lucci was that he was going to manage North Texas for a couple years and kind of be waiting in the wings and learn some of those lessons that coaches have to learn of how far you can push guys and stuff. And Nico has some experience, no doubt, but he's mostly been an assistant and that's good. But you see him, I think, the limits of that sometimes. And then meanwhile, you know, look what they're doing in Montreal. They went out and kind of surprised folks by going and getting the Crew 2 head coach, but bringing that system that they had connections with because of Nancy's time with Montreal. But boy, he's getting some results early. It may not hold, you know, but he already is coming in with some experience working in a system.
The Houston coach also came up through Houston too. So, I mean, it's showing some returns and it's showing you why it's necessary to have a reserve league because, like you said, it's not just a pathway for the players, but also for the coaching rank. There are coaches that are going to become future head coaches in MLS or future assistants, like, you know, our previous North Texas coach is a head coach in New Mexico, right? And who else? Our previous coach before that is also assistant, I think, in DC now. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
So you're seeing these coaches get experience at that level and then taking it up to a higher level, be it championship or MLS. So I think the reserve league is showing its value. Maybe not to the fans. Maybe we don't see it. But if you monitor the movements of coaches and players moving up between MLS Next Pro, USL Championship, and MLS, you can see that the reserve league is paying off dividends for those USL Championship, USL League One, and MLS. And so I think as that league expands and continues to grow, the reserve league that is, and it will continue to grow, you'll see its footprint basically crawl into other leagues at a higher rate than we're seeing right now.
Well, Nico did coach Villarreal, I believe.
I think he was an interim, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was an interim. So was it a long-term thing? I don't think so, but he certainly got his feet wet there.
But I mean, this is Nico's third year. That whole him being a first time, that's yeah. He's had 2 years to learn and so he's not a rookie anymore.
Yeah.
That's true. Been. You know, but I think his issues are other things, you know, player acquisition. I think it was
for the main club. Like I said, for an interim, but he was, yeah, the second team as well he coached. But I think he did
stay. He coached the second team, but he also was an interim for the first team. But his first actual first team, you are the guy, you know, without a doubt, is this team.
Well, all right. Well, look, let's leave it there. We don't want to go too far into the misery of Saturday night.
I don't actually want to leave it there. I want to say that I'm not panicked yet. I am concerned. I wasn't concerned before, but I am concerned now because I expected a better showing against Vancouver than we got. And I think we all did. That's been established. And our only result is against San Jose. Well, our next opponent is Austin, a team who's been played equally bad as FC Dallas and San Jose. And therefore, even though the game's on the road, it's a team that that we have an extra week to prepare for. And I would be stunned if Nico can't find a way to walk out of there with a minimum of a point, preferably three. It would make me feel better. So, like I said, I'm not ready to panic. Now, if they go to Austin and get handled like they got handled by Vancouver, then I might actually officially panic. But I think it's a good team. It's a good team, a good opponent to see where this team is, because they're struggling also. And we'll be able to see if Nico is turning the ship around against them, because it'll be obvious if the team plays like they play against Vancouver and loses 3-1 against Austin. Then it's official time to panic. But I don't think that's the case. They do suck, but you have to beat teams that suck to show that you're not at their level. And I don't think FC Dallas is at their level, and I'm hoping that they prove us right. Where, again, I expect a better show against Vancouver. I expect a better showing against Austin, and I'm hoping that Nico and company will produce.
Well, that's good. And so, yeah, it's too early to talk about Nico on the hot seat. Of course, if this trend continues, we will begin to have that conversation. But we're still weeks away easily.
One last thing. I know you're trying to wrap up Nathan, but one last thing. As bad as the start is, right? Second or third worst start for FC Dallas, in their history. The team is one win away from being back in fourth or fifth place, because two of those losses were against Eastern Conference opponents, and they're actually 1-1 against the West. And apparently, everybody else is in the West is starting. In fact, let me point out that only three teams in the Western Conferences have more than one win. Dallas is one of the many teams in the Western Conference that have one win, and there are only three teams that have more than one victory at this point in the season. So one win against Austin, and FC Dallas is back in the middle of things. So no point in panicking. A result against Austin gets us back to Nico being able to experiment with his current formation. So yeah, the good thing about being in Western Conference is other teams are struggling. We just haven't played those teams. We've only played one of those teams. So anyway, final thing.
You left us on a positive note there. All right. Well, good. Well, we'll stay, of course, stay tuned to afterburn.soccer. Yeah. Hotshear has more questions. He's not letting us go either. I would say that Montreal is better than we thought. Everyone thought Montreal is going to be that first year head coach, but they've come out pretty well, you know. And Vancouver is a well coached team. This is their second away win, so it's hard to.
I would say the standings say no. I would say this: Vancouver is a playoff team from last year. All right. And they're one of the three teams that have more than two victories this year in the Western Conference. They're currently second place in the Western Conference. The wins against San Jose, who's dead last. So that's not bad. Montreal's currently fourth in the Eastern Conference. And Red Bulls are sixth. Both of those teams, Montreal and Red Bull, have two wins. They would be top three in the Western Conference. So if we're going by Western Conference alone, three of FC Dallas's four opponents would be top three in the Western Conference. So on paper, I'm one of the people that said that on paper, to start the season, we looked like we had a pretty soft schedule. Well, I've been proven wrong. Montreal, Red Bulls, and Vancouver are all off to very good starts. You could argue that that's because all three of them played Dallas and got results. But they got results against other teams too. So I would say this has been – now, the fact that it's what hurts is that two of those losses are in Frisco, and that's just simply unacceptable at any level. And that's the concern. But, no, this has been a very tough – other than the first opponent, the 3 opponents that Dallas has lost against to have been, on paper, quality opponents.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And Tom Bogert said that too, that maybe we are lucky to get that win against San Jose, which I would disagree a little bit because I think we were the more dangerous team overall. But still, we're fortunate in some ways to claw out that full 3 points there.
Well, I would be happy with looking like we got lucky against Austin and walking out of there with 3 points. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave it there. Good night, everybody. Thanks for watching. Of course, subscribe to the podcast wherever you find podcasts. Enjoy the off week.
Yeah, enjoy the off week too, Nathan. At least I.